Warning, the following content may be disturbing for some people. Listener discretion is advised. It's the Darren Copeland Experience.
With me, Big Fuzz.
Right here on Mile High Sports Radio.
And happy hump day, folks. Welcome to the Darren Copeland Experience on Mile High Sports Radio. Yep. I'm Big Fuzz. Hello, everybody.
And in honor of hump day?
Yes.
You know what I want the music to be today?
Don't tell me. Something humpy. Porn music?
Porn lounge.
Porn lounge.
Or as we like to call it, plounge.
Plounge. I like it. That works.
Or Lorn.
Is that from the Ultra Lounge set?
No, I just want, okay, so, you know, coming out, I want, like, so I'm thinking, so, we, you know, this is part of it, but can we put this down for a second? Because I want to, like, because there's, like, the stereophonic sound, the stereophonic sound orchestra.
Okay.
I'm waiting. No, I'll get
to. Are you talking to me?
No, I'm not talking to anybody.
Oh.
See, no, I had a very interesting experience this afternoon. I don't know if anyone, I was abducted by aliens.
That I know for a fact where you were. And that
No. So anyway, I was working the baseball game today. Okay. So I was sitting there, and I got there very early. I got there at 10:30. So I heard all of Bud Black, and
I thought you were going to go golfing.
I wish I could go golfing. I had to go cover the game. I was listening to Bud Black. Unfortunately, everything died on me, so I had to watch it. It was just the first of very many things. Like, everything died on me. It was weird. Like, I thought I had charged batteries, but everything was dead.
Huh.
Aliens? Maybe. And so then I was hanging out, and then I was watching a terrible baseball game, and then I was going to, come on.
It was
three hits, man? Three hits?
Yeah, against a guy who just came up from the minor leagues. That's
well,
ridiculous.
Okay, so this guy was a very good pitcher and was actually two-time, seriously. I get confused as being a baseball nerd. But I when you talk around baseball nerds, sometimes they throw out interesting facts.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we were talking about Lee. Lee was 2-time minor league pitcher of the year for the Dodgers.
Okay.
Could not break the Dodgers lineup.
Well, Dodgers always have pretty solid pitching. It's tough
to do. So they traded him, and now you see what you got. This is the 2-time minor league pitcher of the year.
Well, San Diego's been stockpiling a lot of young talent. And they're probably going to be a really good team in a couple years.
Now.
I wouldn't say they're a really good team
Do you realize they let up 6 runs against the Rockies in 3 games?
Yeah, I know.
Do you realize they let up a 3-hitter? Most of that was their starting pitching?
This is what's...
It's unbelievably awesome to watch.
This is what's frustrating about the Rockies. And it's the same problem that we have with the Nuggets. The Rockies go out and they take 2 out of 3 against arguably the best team in the division... And then they turn around
this
and
is
drop,
the first, this
and
is the
drop
first,
2 out of 3
this is the
to
first
San Diego.
Time, this is the first time they've lost a series all year.
It's and their third series.
Fourth.
Milwaukee, Dodgers, San Diego. This is their third series.
It's leap fourth.
it's.
But here's the thing. Is that what you see with the okay, and this is why baseball purists would argue that this is why you need an 144-162 game season, because all of this stuff will even out in the wash.
Generally.
Okay. So what you've seen is you have starting pitchers for the Rockies who generally should be better and just have not been good. Not been their normal selves. Tyler Anderson is not a guy who's known for walking people, and he walked a ton of people.
He walked a ton.
Okay,
yesterday.
Tyler Chatwood is a guy who is not known for walking a lot of people, and he walked a bunch of people. Okay. John Gray was pitching like a stud in the first game, and then all of a sudden he, you know, freaked out in the fifth.
He had a really solid second start.
But his second was great.
Yeah.
Sensatella, it was sort of the same way. Had, you know, was solid.
Actually, Sensatella has probably been our most consistent
pitcher. Freeland looked great in his opening, and then this time, he sort of suffered from having, instead of having 49,000 screaming fans, he had 20-something might have been screaming fans.
That wasn't a big crowd.
And he got jumped on early, and he actually limited the damage for 5 innings, 4 2/3.
I think
he pitched okay. He pitched okay.
I think some of the problem is that our pitchers are not, I think they're very aware that our offense is dead in the water right now, and they're clutching the ball a little tight, knowing that if they let up a couple runs, it could cost them a game because our offense is not hitting anything.
So you know, want to know what DJ LeMayo told me and Thomas Harding today?
I'm sorry, who?
DJ LeMayo, who's all-star second baseman, reigning batting champion.
Nice name drop.
DJ LeMayo told me and Thomas Harding about hitting today. It's contagious. I could probably get the thing. He said what he said was basically this. It's contagious, and it's both good and bad. You know, and the thing is you're all hitting bad, then everyone's hitting bad. But all we need is one or two guys to get start hitting good, and then I think what you'll see is all of us start to hit good. Roughly speaking,
I'm not going,
probably
no, no,
less and probably less Southern.
I get it. I'm not going to argue with DJ LeMahieu, but I'm going to argue.
Are you arguing with DJ LeMahieu?
I'm going to argue with DJ LeMahieu because early on in the first couple of series, you did have a couple of players that were hitting really well, including our first baseman Mark.
Mark Reynolds, who everyone was discounting, though. You know, for last year was the first year that he didn't have at least 20 home runs in a season.
And he was pretty hot to start the first
He was awesome,
seasons.
And Gerardo Parra was a guy Parra who's always been a productive guy and just lost a little bit of his productiveness, was injured.
The problem is the top of our lineup is
This is how
not
we were supposed
anything.
To be last year.
Yeah.
No, Blackman's doing okay.
Blackman's doing okay, yeah.
DJ LeMahieu, no. Cargo has
no.
He had a home run yesterday, yeah. Had two hits today. Is heating up.
Arenado's been Arenado.
He's still producing, even though he's not doing what he could. Trevor Story's been bad.
He's not been good. They're not coming through in the clutch. They're not getting. They left players on base today, way too many, and they're not hitting those clutch, getting those clutch hits. And I think it's making the team kind of tighten up. This is where Bud Black's got to earn his money. Yeah.
So you want to know what former major league shortstop Jeff Houston. Behind two no-hitters, one by Nolan Ryan, two by Nolan Ryan, told me today that actually Trevor Story has a little, he has a problem with his mechanics.
He's got a hole in his swing.
No, well, kind of. But what's causing that hole, dear Liza, is that instead of so if you imagine him standing at the plate and as a right-handed batter, so his left shoulder is towards the pitcher and his... Sound like I'm doing, and then the right hand. Okay, so but with his shoulder on the backside. What you want it to be is when you're coming through the strike zone, you want to have it closed so that you're over the top of it instead of dipping it and open. Because instead of having a flat swing, you have a upwardly mobile swing.
Uppercut. It's an uppercut swing.
Uppercut swing, and that's worse for as Mo Vaughn is the exception to the rule on that, where you can't. You know, it's very difficult to hit a baseball going up instead of through.
Yeah, there are a couple of players that are,
and so that's causing that problem, and that needs to get sorted out.
I think some of the problem is you get players here, and they actually have hit better on the road. They hit better in Milwaukee than they hit here.
I think there's a lot of things to be said about just a team of dudes hanging out in their hotel room and just being whatever.
Could be,
as opposed to being here, where you have people like me and tons of other people asking all sorts of ridiculous questions, and there's all there's fans and family and all sorts of craziness around it. It's just you don't get to be a team at home necessarily as much as you get to be on the road, and sometimes teams take advantage of that.
Ironically, I think it's easier to get into a hitting slump in Coors Field, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah,
because when you get into Coors Field, you want to swing, you want to overswing.
Yes,
because you just want to kill that ball and get it up. But the problem is, you overswing. You put a hole in your swing, and then you start striking out or pop flies, and then you start clutching that bat a little tight, and next thing you know, you're in an 0 for 20.
Do you want to know the best conversation I had in the dugout today?
What?
So me and Ryan Spielborgs and Corey Sullivan, I mean, just us, whatever, and a few of our friends. We're talking about they wanted to hit golf balls, and I said, there's only been one golf ball ever hit at Coors Field, and they hit a drive out, and they said, we were so angry that he's never been allowed in since.
Really?
Yeah, Steve Kelly's never been allowed into Coors Field since.
That's funny.
I know, that's funny. But you know what?
What?
He got to hit a golf ball out of Coors
Field. Yes, he did.
And he's the only one. That's rarer than anything that's ever happened there.
That's true.
There's only one. There can be only one!
And he's it.
It's the Darren Copeland Experience. We'll be right back.